What is the role of the Bible? Hi, my name is Mike Barnett, and my conversation partners are Brant Berglund and Bob Resch, and we have at the engineering controls, Amber Amos. Welcome. What is the role of the Bible?
I think the Bible is to tell us about God, but there then arise immediately some questions of logic. How do we know the Bible is true? Answer, because it was inspired by God. How do we know the Bible was inspired by God? Because it says so. I think those who speak Latin call that curriculus in probando, which doesn't really prove anything. So, Brant,
what does that mean? Yeah. Is that circular reasoning? Is that
yes,
the understanding?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
So, get us started on a better way than I did.
So, I have some young people who are currently students at Walla Walla University who are studying with some young, nice-dressed men who come from a faith different from my faith tradition here in Seventh Adventism. And these nice-dressed young men are doing a couple-year mission. And in studying with these nice-dressed young men, my two students have been asking about their scripture because these young men have a different text. And the young men that are my students ask these young missionary gentlemen, how should we know that your scripture is true? And they said, you pray and you ask God, and he will give you a testimony in your heart. You will get a feeling that it's true. Well, and how do we know that that's the way that it will be given? How do we know that that's the evidence? Well, because it says in our scripture. Our scripture says that you'll get that warm feeling if you pray and ask. Oh, and so if I get a warm feeling, your scripture confirms that. So again, circular reasoning. And I would argue that that's not a good enough answer that the Bible just claims to be inspired.
So yes, as you mentioned, this is frequently used.
Yep.
And I knelt with a couple of these missionaries once upon a time and prayed that I would have exactly that experience.
So have I.
And they arose from that same prayer with this special feeling in their chest that assured them they were on the right track.
Yes.
I had no such feeling. Now, the text they read did say, if you're sincere in this, they did not accuse me of being insincere, but I think I was.
Mm.
Nevertheless, they did have an experience I did not. So maybe God does not give us all the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, down the road, we'll be looking at the difference between faith and feelings. So we'll want to tackle that, maybe bring that up again. The role of the Bible. So in my own life, I'd finished high school and decided not to go to college. And several years go by, and I'm finally becoming a Christian, believe it or not. Even though I'd been in Christian schools all my life, I'm finally becoming a Christian myself. And a couple of more years go by, I decide I'm going to go back to college. It's now been 4 years since I've been. And I'm nervous because, you know, I'm completely out of the academic world. But I had been studying the Bible by myself, for myself, just an exhaustive concordance and a few other books I had. And I would cross-reference and ask questions. And I would write them out. My books look horrible. They are all underlined.
Marked up.
Yeah, marked up and, you know, stuff written in the margins and all that kind of thing. So I go to college my first quarter. I'm back, and I get a 3.97. Whoa, I'm kind of blown away. I didn't think I was capable. I certainly didn't pull those kind of grades when I was in high school. So after 2 years, I drop out, and I become a locksmith. I work in that field for 17 years. I end up coming back, going back to school again, this time thinking I might become a teacher. I ended up becoming a pastor instead. But now it's been 20 years, 20 years since I've been in school, and I'm real nervous about coming. And I came here to Walla Walla, actually. They were delighted to have me, they said. And so I came, and I'm nervous. What have I done that, you know, is going to help me get through this? And the answer is my devotion life. It was so strong, so robust that I came and once again that first quarter I pull a 3.97 and they say to me, oh boy, you know, if we'd known what you were capable of, we should have put you in some different classes. They even ended up accelerating me through some programs. Now, I don't say this because I'm great, because I told you I wasn't a good high school student particularly. But what I found out was the role of the Bible in my life was profound. around. Mm-hmm. It changed me. And one of my favorite quotes from Ellen White is, "The character of John Wycliffe is a testimony," she wrote, "to the educating, transforming power of the Holy Scriptures. It was the Bible that made him what he was. The effort to grasp the great truths of Revelation imparts freshness and vigor to all the faculties. It expands the mind, sharpens the perceptions, ripens the judgment. The study of the Bible will ennoble every thought, feeling, and aspiration as no other study can. It gives stability of purpose, patience, courage, and fortitude. It refines the character and sanctifies the soul." Anyway, she goes on. One of my favorite quotes, because it seemed to me like this is what happened to me when I began studying the Bible for myself. What is the role of the Bible in your life?
And I think that's one of the biggest questions we can ask, rather than saying, how do we know the Bible's inspired, which is an important sort of question. But if I were to say, well, let's ask about its claims. What does it claim about me? And I read the Bible partly to know what God thinks about me. And that's when I read that the role of the Bible is partly to call me out for who I am, which is a kind of a bumbling idiot sometimes. And the scripture is very clear about what I do right and what I do wrong. Because before it ever knew me, it laid out a standard of rightness and wrongness, and now I can compare my life with that. So that's part of its role, right? Part of its role is also to tell me the story of a God who says, you are what you feel like when you see my law. You don't measure up, but also I love you dramatically. And so it's there to let me know that I am of inestimable worth to my Creator, that made in his image, though fallen, I still matter to him. And then to know what he's done for me. And part of that role is, as you said in that quote, to ennoble the soul, to free the mind of its restraint so it can think clearly and critically in the world. I would argue the same thing happened with me, Mike, the same thing, that before I was reading scripture and spending time, I was raised in a Christian home, but had very little to do with the Bible as a life-changing book. And I left God, I left the church, I had no interest. And when I came to faith through a series of, I think, miraculous events, it was the biblical text that was the converter of my heart. It was not some warm, fuzzy feeling. It was a conviction that I needed a God to love me. And the scriptures pointed that out. And then it said, here's how you can come to God by faith. Here's what that looks like. So the role of the Bible was a director to me to have an experience with Jesus Christ, right? The law pointed to Jesus. I recognized my need of him. And then I found freedom. I found forgiveness. I found a new purpose. I was in the same boat you were in high school. I was a failure. My grades were awful. I think I still have high school classmates who can't believe that I'm teaching college, you know, and finishing up my PhD. I don't think they can imagine that so far from what I was.
You should hear what my high school friends, peers, thought when they discovered I'd become a pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. You? Exactly.
No chance.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that our lesson had some puzzling notes about certain other theologians. For example, in the lesson for this week, there's a trend among liberal theologians, and then it goes on to describe what that trend is, alarming. And so I would just like to pause and maybe wonder, what is a liberal theologian? Would that be a theologian who is friendly, open, generous, happy to share? Is that what a liberal theologian would be?
I think that's what we think of when we think of somebody who's liberal with generosity, but I don't think in theological terms that's usually what they mean. It's usually to take the words of Scripture as merely human words rather than the words of the Spirit-led prophet or apostle. And that means that the text is only from a human perspective.
Well, would a liberal theologian ever ask for, say, a conservative offering?
I don't know what the question. Forgive me.
Yeah, I don't know the answer either.
Well, if I'm thinking about, you know, globally speaking, the role of the Bible, you know, I put down in my written materials, love requires freedom, and freedom is supported through influence. God uses his word to influence us, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how he governs the universe. That's how he makes it possible for us to become friends. He uses the Bible to accomplish that, which is a little bit different in this sense. It wasn't a heavy analysis of the role of the Bible in terms of authoritative. You know what I'm saying? Yes, the Bible is authoritative for me, but when I look at the nature of authority, I have a different view of the nature of authority, one that's a little softer, one that's a little kinder. And some of that could be because of my reading. I could give you, you know, some chapter and verse in that regard. But I could also just simply say, I'm an authority-challenged person.
Hmm.
The last thing I like is for someone to tell me what to do. Probably why I became self-employed. I was a locksmith. Probably why I became a pastor, which is mostly a self-employment.
Self-determined.
Right?
Yep.
So, you know, looking at it from that side, the role of the Bible is influence. That's what the Bible is. It's influencing people.
I would like to testify to that. I have read the Bible all my life. My parents, my teachers encouraged me to read the Bible, but it was certain specific religion teachers who drew me closer and closer to God simply because of the kind of godly people they were.
Hmm.
And they said, God is like that. All right, I'm interested in that. I would like to be like that myself.
Well, that's great. I didn't have that kind of experience. I had two different types of teachers. One was my primary teacher at Sabbath school at church. She was the only godly person I actually knew. And I thought, well, if everybody was like that, I would be interested in God. But I also had a teacher at my private school that I attended who nearly destroyed any possibility that I would become a person of faith, because every time I would ask a question about something in the Bible, she would shut it down and say that it was a declaration of doubt when I thought it was just an honest question. And she nearly killed me for being a Christian ever.
What a disappointment.
It was. It was very hard for me to take. And it's probably why I, you know, have enjoyed a softer view of authority. But here is a text, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. This is God speaking. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. This is not, you know, someone praying to God. This is God speaking to us. I will pour out my thoughts to you. How do you feel about a God who's willing to share so much?
I'm grateful. And yet, for me as a New Testament scholar, it's like in the beginning was the Word. God's thoughts and words are poured out in His Son, Jesus. I see it most clearly there.
And Jesus did that. Although He said a lot of words, He also did a lot of acts.
Yes.
And as people observed Him, they could understand something of God.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for joining us. Good Word. We will see you again next week, where we will be tackling how to study the Bible.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.